We speak of the one and the only, the head coach of the Sydney Kings, Brian Gorgian. Gorge, welcome to the roundtable.
Nice to be a part of this. And looking forward to the chat.
I want to start with the Freeway Series. And obviously for you, you've now been on both sides of the divide, the Sydney-Illawarra divide. What does it mean to you for this matchup coming up this weekend, the first time that you're going to be coaching against the Hawks since you left a couple of seasons ago? Does it have that added emotion to it now? Is it now that you've seen the rivalry from both sides, what's your take on it?
Well, as you're saying, you know, everybody that it plays somebody tough feels like they're the rivalries, the biggest rivalry. I'm not comparing it to others, but I know that, you know, in my time in the NBL, when I was with the Magic and we played the Tigers, that rivalry was epic. And it was epic because you have events, you have games that mean something, you know, it's not just location. So in this now, and you look at, you know, since I've come back after the COVID and went to Wollongong, that the games between ourselves and Sydney were epic, and a lot of emotion in those games and a lot of great games. And the two teams, if you look over the course of time, the Wollongong Hawks have been in the top four, three out of the last 4 years. And the Sydney Kings have been champions twice in that short span. So those games, I remember when we came up and played, you know, we're playing in the Sydney on their court in a packed house. And if they win, they move to the championship. If we move, we get them back at our place. And then, you know, for a chance to go to the grand final. And the game was epic. We were 15 points up, and they came back and beat us with virtually a 4-point play from J.A. And I remember being teary after that. That was the end of my time at the Hawks. And, you know, it was like the Kings always were the team standing in your way if you're going to win a championship. And then from the Sydney standpoint, being here now, the fact that I was the Hawks coach and now I've come across here, and now the job that Tatum has done with the Hawks and where they are, and they've been together now for a period of time, climbing that ladder, and the next step for them is to win a championship. So the games are, you know, it's very good teams with a lot of history. And, you know, now you've got the coaches, you've got the organizations have had words. The games have been epic, you know, buzzer beaters, the inbounds play, and Bruce hits it at the buzzer. You know, being involved in games like that just make this, again, an epic series. And a lot of emotion from the ownerships. I always remember Smitty, when we were down there, always had a little something to say to fire things up. And, you know, we went out in there with a, you know, really desperate to win. So I'm expecting a big time clash with in a big time game. And you look at right now, I'm looking at this weekend, and I'd say, if you said right now coming into it, the evenness of the competition and all of these teams, there isn't, and all the coaches are talking about, you can't go anywhere and expect to get a win. But if you said to me, who are the top three teams in the competition that you're up against that you got to get through, I'd say two of them are on the table this weekend. Perth would be right there to win a championship, and I think they're predicted one or two. And then I think the Hawks are positioned to take that next step and try to win a championship. So we're playing two of the top, I think, the top four here back-to-back. Early in the season.
I just want to go back to Hoops Fest, and you've had a couple of days now to reflect and watch tape after the win against Adelaide. How satisfied were you with the overall performance?
I was really pleased in the fact that, you know, everyone's talking about our talent, but I just felt coming into this, when you look at Melbourne, when you look at the Hawks, when you look at the synergy that we isn't there, you know, we isn't there yet. You know, we've got I'm very talented, very happy with my team, but we've got a lot of new, we have five guys that have never played in an NBL game before. And I felt like when we went to the Gold Coast to the Blitz, when we got tested, we went to water, bad shots, didn't get back on defense. And I think the Phoenix game was a good example. You know, we jumped out, we hopped on top of them. And when they made a run at us, we went to butter. But in that game, we got up big. They charged us and got ahead, and we didn't let it go. We brought the group back. We came back and fought, and then they did it again and went up five, and now you're going into the fourth quarter, and we haven't been good in this situation where you're playing possession for possession, and you've had a lead, and now they've taken it from you. And I really liked where our group went in that fourth quarter. We grinded out the defense, changed some philosophy on the on ball, started to pack it more and not rotate. And I thought we kept running. We scored twice after I remember a key one, after they scored and their bench is up, we inbounded it, ran the ball right down their throat and laid it right back in. They were still standing from the last possession. And I felt like, we were still exploiting it, but if we didn't have it, we went through process and got a good shot and grinded out that win. And it's the first game of the season, and I just feel like every game is a battle. And that team, I felt, was really well coached, really knew had a philosophy how to handle how we play on ball defense, and really exploited us in a lot of ways. But I thought we made adjustments during the game, so I was pleased with that. If you said the negative of it, the strength of our team is going to be our talent depth-wise. I look at this and I go, these teams have 8 very, very good players, but we can go to 12. And so what was disappointing is each time I went to the bench in that game, for whatever reason, it didn't click. So if you look at our starters, the highest plus minus in the history of the club, which was amazing, was his first game, was plus 39 for Buchwal. And all our starters in Cam had plus, and then we were negative after that. And so what has been a strength in the preseason is the contribution that we got from the bench. So, playing a few minutes, coming out, coming back in, it's something that you got to get used to. And we got to get, and the staff has a responsibility there as well. But what I'm saying is that part of it was a mess. And I thought that really hurt us.
Aside from that, and you did go into depth about it in that post-game press conference, where do you want to see improvement, moving forward? And also, how long do you think will it take for this team to sort of really develop that identity, that you've been so famous for over the years?
Well, I do think, and there was comments made, that the Kings of last year's team, you're always taking, and I'm not going to talk about their strengths because we're running some of the stuff that they've ran so well, and the coaches have done such a great job. But if you look at last year's team, where they disappointed was, I call it the grit area, the pickup of the ball, running your lanes hard, communication on the floor, blocking out, diving on the floor, the 50-50 ball. That's an area that we've really talked about. And if you look at you're always looking at the champions and going, this is what you need to be good at in the league if you're trying to win a championship. And Tasmania and Melbourne were the best two teams in the competition in the last season. So that's an area where we're really focusing on. And I think you can make ground there quick. And if you ask, you take the example of Jalen Adams, a lot of people commented on that it wasn't his 25 points, but he had some bite to him. And that was missing last year. And I think Tui and, you go right through them. I think the group played with a spirit and a tenacity that isn't fully there yet, but is definitely on the improve, and we want to move forward there. And the ability to play together that you're talking about to mesh, I just think it's time. It's repetition. It's playing. Mm-hmm. And a lot's been said about that we, if you, and I know talking, I get Smitty and now Robin being, the the lead owner in this, her vision, it wasn't, you know, slap together a team and win a championship. You know, she's very community minded. She wants something that, you know, that we're involved in the community, that it's a group of guys that are going to be together for a while and we're going to grow together. And so it's this process that you're talking about. I think it's going to be over the, as time goes on, next year, the year after that, the year, you know, I think the group's going to get better and better and better. You know, they're, you know, we've got six or seven guys we signed Cooks here for long term, and we've got a bunch of young guys underneath him that we see being here for a long period of time. And you look at Kelly, you look at Tyler, you look at Spurgeon, you look at J.A., who knows what happens with Tui, but all of those guys, and I don't say next star, with they're kings, and they're young, and the strength of our team should be the growth. We're not going to be out recruiting and trying. We're trying to grow the group we have. And so in this process, Matt, I am still saying that the goal is to win a championship. But whatever it is, I would be very up if this team isn't better by the All-Star break, the halfway mark, sorry, and then better as we get to the playoffs. And then when the season finishes, and if we can get that championship moving into next year, better again. But yeah, the synergy that Melbourne has, the synergy that Tasmania have, it comes from time, comes from events, close games, being together in competition. And we're going to get better in that area than we should, because we're, if you say those top four teams, I think we're the bottom in games played together.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that about Robin and her focus on the community as well as obviously on the court. It kind of harkens back. I couldn't help but think about the Magic, in particularly obviously when you started in 92, when they became the Magic, that was a real kind of focus, you know, the community aspect of it, and then building through that, and obviously what you're putting on the court. I mean, do you feel that with what you've got right now and what you will have a couple of years down the track potentially?
That, for me, that was the attraction of coming back. I mean, when she spoke about, when we talked in the recruiting aspect of it, you know, spoke with Luke and Bogues and then Smitty and had the communication and then talked to, you know, the owner. And when she spoke about her vision, it really excited me. And it was very much, as you said, and you know, she wouldn't, I don't even know if she knows the Magic, but it was very much Magic-like. And back, you know, Melbourne, the Tigers, getting out in the community, getting the community behind the team. You know, we're touching the Sudanese community. We're touching the local associations. And I think, I hope that, you know, and I'm not, again, if you're being disrespectful in any manner, Chase Buford was an incredible coach, two championships in 2 years. The last coach, and you know, I'm horrible with names to pronounce. I can tell by, you know, what I've walked into that he knew what he was doing. But in some form, they're hired guns. You know, they come over, they're Americans, they come over, they, as soon as the season finishes, they're back home. And then they come, you know, maybe for the start of the season again, and then it's a short period of time and they're gone. This is, staying there when the season finishes and getting out in the communities. We're into the Sudanese community, we're into the associations. We brought those kids in and worked all the NBL1 kids out. And going to other countries and playing games, but her vision isn't an all-star team where what does it cost? Get me the best players and I want to win a championship. She's, you know, she wants to win and she wants a professionally well-run team and she wants it organized, playing well and winning. But it's the, her vision is much bigger than that. And if you look at and listen to what I'm saying, it's how the team was assembled. And it starts with, you know, Xavier Cooks. It wasn't about the 16 points and 12 rebounds. 100%, you're getting a great player and hopefully the best player in the league. But what was missed with Xavier was he's the face of the organization. He's defensive Sydney. He's you know, and it's what he is in the locker room. It's what he is upstairs with the sponsors. It's him, the person, in the face of this that needed to come back and then build around that. And then from getting him, we went out and we went young. We went to, you know, back, we didn't really stay on the free agents list. We went into the, you know, the colleges in America and got the young ones that we felt would be kings for a long time. And we were in a battle for those. And once we got Xavier, we got him. And we feel like we've got that vision that she talked about. We've got a nice starting place.
And it's interesting that you're kind of on this extended road trip, you know, the way things have worked out with playing Adelaide at Hoops Fest and now round two on Friday night going up against the Wildcats back at RAC. Is this a really important time for this group, given that you've talked about the fact, you know, five guys hadn't played NBL before, and it is a really new group. You know, the core group that the Kings have sort of had over the last, you know, three to four seasons really is kind of thinned out. So has it been important for you, particularly, you know, this week, in having more time kind of grinding it out with the guys, watching a lot of film, getting some role clarity and that kind of thing?
Ben, the point you're making, it's been really helpful.
Yeah.
It's hard. Nobody likes being on the road forever.
Yeah.
But us eating together, going to practice together, doing things at night, hanging out together, I really believe the guys like each other. So you fast circuit this thing by being around each other. The Gold Toast, Andrew Bogut was at every game. He was around our group, around our guys. He's a very influential and important piece that we have that a lot of the other teams don't have, or they don't have. And then we're here in Perth, and you know, tonight we've got a great night plan through Luke Longley, who's another one again that's really an important piece. So they've had an opportunity to be around the guys, come to practice. The guys have had an opportunity to be around each other, get to, you know, you can have a coffee with a player, you can talk to them afterwards. You know, they're not just going home. So there's been an advantage there, for sure. And we've tried in every way to take advantage of it.
Mm. And we've already sort of touched on it, but I just want to sort of get a bit of a deep dive into the two games this weekend. And as you mentioned, talk about a pair of blockbusters. I mean, they couldn't have scheduled it any better from an NBL fan perspective. The Sydney-Perth, you know, you talked about Sydney-Illawarra rivalry, all that you well know through Paul Smith mainly, but both teams have been so successful over the last few years. Sydney and Perth at RSC, which is probably going to be sold out. Bryce Cotton in mid-season MVP type form already, it appears, and they've recruited extremely well. And then coming off that short turnaround Sunday afternoon, early Sunday afternoon, 2:30 game against the Hawks, who themselves look phenomenal with that, you know, massive front line with Froling, Lock and Ulbrich, Darius Days, you're probably familiar with out of Shanghai, and then that backcourt of theirs. Starting out with Perth, I mean, what are your thoughts on that particular matchup on the floor and what you need to do to what would be a huge W even at this early stage of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you know, watching, it's been a great opportunity too for all our guys to, you know, the Hoops Fest and the Blitz, seeing all the teams and being in the same, you know, area. So seeing all those teams play in person, watching them on film, then coming here in the same thing in Perth, you know. So it's been a great opportunity. And my point as well as what you're saying is the standout. Perth is probably, you know, when you look at it and watch the last game they played, the standout team as far as the synergy in which they're playing with together and the firepower they have. And then, you know, you're always, it's kind of like the Patty Mills deal with the Boomers when he comes in, you know, they're getting older. They're not young men anymore. And you go, when's that, you know, little little step slower going to happen, because it Father Time creeps in on everybody. And as you saw at the Olympics, Patty hasn't lost a step, and not an ounce of it. And then you come into this and you go, God, you know, he looks, you know, Bryce looks like he just stepped off the plane for his first year. You know, he's quick as lightning, unbelievably confident with the shot, and playing with a lot of passion and emotion. And I think, you know, again, I've watched Perth for a long period of time. The pieces around him now are as good as I can remember. So, you know, to key in on him and lock in on him, you can really pay the price, because it gives all these other pieces more space. So they are an extreme challenge going in that venue for our guys, a lot of them for the first time. And again, I've played in a lot of venues with 25,000 people in them, but they're supporting and watching the game. You know, when we play 25, it's not, you come in here and there's 13, 12, whatever it is, standing room only, rabid Perth fans. That's that's a different scenario. So we're going to get tested in every manner. They're a really, really good basketball team, really well coached. And I think this is one of the better Perth teams I've seen for a while. On the flip side, I'm really excited about my group. And, you know, I keep saying, you know, I mean, we're all day by day touching each thing. We play, we get on a plane and fly and get back to Sydney. We'll probably get back to our place by 5 o'clock and play the next day in the afternoon. We won't have touched a freckle on the Hawks. So, you know, and they're a completely different, like you said, with that front line. Now you're dealing not with quickness, or you're dealing with a power game. They pump that thing inside and they're really strong, and they've got a lot of juice after what took place last year and the momentum last year. So we're going to get challenged in a different way in that game. And it's in a rivalry, and it's a home game. And a lot of our guys have never been in our venue. So I'm not, you know, I keep saying with all of this, you know, and they, well, it's this, and you know, you figure out what the challenge is and the best way to approach it, and just say, good. You know, it's good. I've got depth. I've got good guys. They're working their asses off, where there's a togetherness and a cohesion about them. Bring it on. It's good. And whatever comes from it, you know, we're going to continue to grow. But I like my group, and I you know, and being around them this week and at the Blitz, you know, the fondness for them grows, like how they handle practice, how they are at the meal table, how they are with people on the street. We got some really good dudes and guys that listen, want to learn, want to get better. So I'm proud of them, and I'm looking forward to being with these guys in battle.
Gorge, I want to go back to when the Kings first made the approach to you to gauge your interests in coming back. What was your reaction when you first got that call? And take us through the decision-making process that you went through in making the choice to go back to Sydney.
Well, it's when I left, I mean, I take you back a little bit. When I left, well, I was really happy back in the NBL. And it's a long story, and I'll keep it short. But when I was in China, I needed I've never had an agent in my life. But I needed an agent because I didn't speak Chinese to talk what the heck was going on when I moved from a club to another club. And so for 7 years, I've been with a guy from Milwaukee that virtually grew up in China and spoke fluent Chinese and became a soulmate and very smart guy. And he had this vision of a Euro League in Asia. And it was going to include, at the end of the day, Australia and New Zealand. And there was an agreement, if this ever takes place, if you ever get this done, I'm in. And in my second year at the Gong, in the middle of the season, he goes, Gorge, this is going to happen. I want you to be my guy. And, you know, I really was into this into this vision. So that's why I left the Hawks. And then when I went there, we finished our season in front of 55,000 people in Manila in an incredible 7-game series. It was unbelievable. And due to the league is still growing, still moving forward, and I'm hoping for that same and I wanted to be a part of that, bringing Australia into that and having us someday, you know, the Sydney Kings play Beijing in Beijing, Korea in Seoul. They come here and play it, you know, it, that type of, and I think like they have in Europe, Asia needs it. Our national team needs it. It was a vision. It was a passion. And that team got spit out and we went to the World Cup. The World Cup finished, and I sat for the first time in close to 40 years, not involved in basketball for 10 months, waiting for the Olympics. During that period of time, watching and being around the NBA, there was nowhere I wanted to coach more than back at home for my final years of coaching. And I just love what's going on in the NBL. I love being a part of the national team. I loved when I was a part of the Hawks. But you're sitting there and you're going, you know, I didn't want to be the guy that sat there and everybody, every time a guy lost a game, oh, Gorgian's, you know, Gorgian wants the job. I wanted to be in a situation where I was needed, and it was like, and I would be good for, and usually at the end of the season, there's two or three where this guy's going to go. They need, and again, it might be good for me. It might not. And as that thing, I won't go, as it was coming towards the end, there was a couple teams that I thought it might work. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking about that. There was a little bit of discussion. And what I'm trying to, as the end of the season was approaching, the Kings were the furthest thing from my mind. I never that, it, you know, that never thought. And then it ended, you know, it wasn't a great year for them, but it's, you know, they've had a couple championships, you know, I just, you know, that's not there. And so you're looking, you're thinking, and all of a sudden that thing, it finished nasty. And, you know, shortly after the finish, I got a phone call and I was like in shock. It's like, you know, would you be interested? And I'm, you know, like, it caught me. It was like a punch in the side of the head. And it was like, yeah, I would be. And then put the phone down, talked to my wife and my daughter and everything. And now it's like there has been no job offer. It was kind of like, are you interested? And then you're kind of like, God, everybody, you start getting excited, but it might not happen. And then it happened from that first call real quick, you know, Luke Longley conversation. And then I was put on a phone call with Robin. And not only was I excited prior, but once I spoke to Robin, it was like, where do I sign? And, you know, I like I said, it was an incredible fortunate for me. And then, you know, once I signed it, you know, from that moment, it's just been, you know, unbelievably exciting. And then coming back to living outside of Melbourne in Australia, I've only done Sydney. So, you know, coming back and it just all those, there were so many great things. You know, you go back to Sydney and it's unbelievably great memories. You see people, you know, we won three championships together. We're involved in 5 grand finals. There's a lot of love, a lot of great friendships. And I felt wanted, and I felt the people I was around were excited that I was there. And I feel the same way in return. So that's, you know, I don't take it for granted. I feel blessed, and I feel so fortunate. I feel so fortunate to be in the NBL right now. And now, I mean, I know I'm going on the fact of being in the Blitz and being up here at the Hoops Fest and seeing what a great job the NBL has done with making our game a world game. And I'll never, you know, when I came to Australia, you know, and I was in the Australian footy watching all that, and we're Australia's sport. We're the best, you know, we're Australia's sport. And I always think, yeah, you are, but we're a world sport. And now, when you watch the game being played, the players on each team, you know, Sudanese players, players from Spain, Australian players, American players, European players, we're touching the globe, Asian players. And then you look in the stands, New York Knicks, Oklahoma City, Europeans, you know, we have encaptured. And when I talk to those people and everything, besides the basketball, can you imagine what those guys, those scouts think when they come to Perth or when they come to the Gold Coast? Hey, I don't care if I'm watching Twiddlywinks. I want to come back and do this again. This place is incredible.
Just following on from that, and I'm wondering if you reflect upon that, on this, you spoke about the great memories you had with Sydney when you were here from 2002, 2008. I'm just wondering, given the way that whole thing finished, as successful and incredible as that period of time was, that last season, and then the way the whole thing ended with a company that shall not be named and the person that shall not be named, basically destroyed the league, or the club rather. What did it mean to you to get this kind of a second chance more than 15 years later from when in Sydney, from when you left that the first time under the circumstances that you did?
I tried to describe to you, but it's funny when that, it didn't only happen to me, that was the worst. Absolute worst, because of the way it went. But I've, involved in the East Side Spectres becoming the Magic, involved in the Magic becoming the Titans, involved in the Titans going down and coming to Sydney, involved in the Sydney Kings winning 3 championships, 5 games, and it imploding. Then going to the Dragons, winning the championship, coming from last to first, done. When I went to China, I remember thinking in my second year, why am I so, this isn't the NBL, this isn't, and I'm away from home, why am I enjoying my basketball so much? And it was because that the fear of the team folding. Are my players going to get paid? Are we going to be okay? Are the sponsors happy? Are they there? That was gone. That was finished. And I didn't realize the toll that was taking on me. For, I used to ask at the Sydney games, send Jacob upstairs on a Wednesday, at, Carfino in a Hawaiian shirt, and there's 1,000 people at the game. Are the sponsors there? Is the thing, so going through all that and then coming back, and now all of that is gone. All of that is gone, and you're back in a city. And I felt like when I was in there that initial time, this is where I'm going to finish. And when you get this thing, and we have it going like Perth has it going, we're going to win it, or we're going to be in the grand final, or we're going to be in the top 4. It's dusted. We've got this thing marked. It's cornered. And the ride of a lifetime, and for that to be taken away, and now you get a second opportunity at it, and the side that could bring you down is covered, is a really, really exciting, especially at my, I want to leave, like being in a strong, back in Sydney, being in a, and leave a strong legacy, and also a powerhouse. And there's no excuses, all the other sides of it that could hold you back, that you used to worry about on the initial start to this, are gone. And that makes it much more enjoyable, much more possible, and really, really exciting.
You've done just a couple more questions, mate. You've done just about everything you can. You've said before, you've accomplished more than anyone else has in coaching, basketball coaching in this country. As you begin your 25th season, which completely blows my mind as a head coach in the NBL, what is it that I'm just interested? What is it that keeps you going and coming to work every day with, you know, what I see is the same energy that you've always had?
I think, you know, I'd use the word change, that, you know, I haven't coached the Magic for 25 years. And I've thought a lot about what you've said, because when that goes, that's the time when to call it quits.
Yeah.
But I've been constantly, if you think about it, since I've been constantly challenged and dealt with change. So you're at the Magic. Now you're at the Titans. Now you become the, you got to get the Kings going. Now you become the national coach. Now, now you go back to Melbourne and you do the Dragons. Now, you know, I'm overseas and I'm in Beijing, and it's like the Red Army, and I'm the only Westerner there. And it's, you know, Yao Ming, Gigi Wang, Joe Chi, you know, all these things. And you're the only Western guy in there. There's juice flowing through your body, let me tell you. And then you do Japan. Then you're in the Philippines. Now you come back, you're the national coach again. And it's like I've constantly different players, different staff, different style of game, grow or you're out. And that has really energized me. And now I feel, I honestly do, I feel like it's my first year in. And I promise you, people say you're the GOAT or you're the 25 years old. I feel like it's my first day. The coach from Adelaide came up and he shook me and he goes, God, he goes, my first game. And I'm coaching a guy that's coached like 10,000 games. You know, what I get game one and you've got game 10,000. And I said, Coach, I feel like this is my first, you know, he looked at me like I was nuts, but I first game back with the Kings. I felt as nervous as I did the first time I coached with the Kings the first time. You know, you don't think back, oh, I won three championships. No one gives a shit about that anymore. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's a new day, new challenge. I think that keeps you young. And then the other aspect of it is when you're involved in basketball or you're involved in sport, I love being around the young. And I think it, you know, when it keeps you young, you know, that, you know, every day I'm around guys that are, you know, 19 year olds to 31 year olds. So I'm, you know, I'm around the young the whole time, and my, whatever, bloodline I've got or whatever, my dad was similar. I enjoy that. I enjoy being around the young, learning from the young. And, again, change.
Just finally from me, what's a pretty simple question. What's the most important thing you've learned over the course of your journey as a head coach?
I think the first word I'd say is listen. You know, I guess, you know, one of the things in what really changed me a lot was when I went to China and I couldn't communicate. So, you know, how do you get somebody's respect? You know, work ethic, be the first one at the gym, be the last one to leave. How you use, you know, use the computer, show them the bit. I've been challenged in ways like that. But one of the things is when you went to China, I needed to listen to Yao. I needed to listen. They spoke English. How do you do it? It's not me coming in and saying, this is how, they don't want to hear that. Here, you add a little spice to what we're doing, but I had to learn. I had to listen. And when I became the national job and I came back, Joe, Patty, Baines, I had to do a lot of listening. And so my mindset when I took over the Boomers was clarity, how I use my voice and listen. And so if I had to, you know, be around competence and always, and it's not hard for me to do, find people that are better than you. And I have a group and I constantly learn from them. And again, if you added that when I'm talking to the players now and I'm around Xavier Cooks and I'm around Jalen Adams, I always ask, what do you do? How do you do it? So again, even when I say with the people above me, what am I doing? I'm listening. And as you can tell in this interview, I can run my mouth, I can talk. An important aspect for me as I've grown is to be around people that are better than you and listen, and then in my working environment, listen more.
And I guess just one more for me as well, Gorge, and thanks so much for spending so much time with us ahead of a big weekend for you and the club. You said when you took the posting back in March that you were planning on this being your last coaching gig for your career. And after hearing everything that you described about the way that the job came about and the opportunity came about to go back to Sydney, do you feel now it's a case of serendipity almost that this opportunity came up at the time that it has, and for you to finish up what's been an amazing career with the club that in a lot of ways you're most identified with here in Australia?
Yeah, I do. And it's almost like you get what you deserve. And I think back on, you can say whatever you want about me as a national coach or me as an NBL coach or a junior coach or women's coach. I got a picture the other day from a guy when I was in the Gold Coast. He's sitting there and he walks over to my table at the Blitz. And he's like 60 years old, 61 years old. And he goes, do you remember me? And I look at him, I go, no. And he hands me this picture. And I'm at St. James College. It's 1978. I arrived in 1977. Oh, and coached his basketball team to the championship. And he said, man, you introduced me to basketball. We didn't even know what it was. My kids, some of these guys in here still play Monday night. You brought basketball to us. Thank you. And he was 61 years old. And I'm saying to myself, you know, and I think back on this, I've given everything to this game and it's given me so much love back, but it has been, I've been hardworking, dedicated. I love Australia. I care about Australia. I care about the national team, the development of the kids I've put in. And, with whatever you, it's like a lesson in life, whatever you give, you get back in spades. And so here I am at 70 years old, coming down the backstretch, and I get the national job back and get to represent my country and get a medal. And then now the number one, to me, the best, the biggest city, the greatest city in Australia. And you get to coach and finish with the Sydney Kings, a job that you half did. I mean, I know it's I get teary I promise you, I scratch myself and I learn as I go, don't take anything for granted. But I do. I always, my grandkids and every, you know, my dad always taught me, if you put in, And don't worry about anything else and give it your all, you're going to get it back in spades. And a lot of the things my dad blessed me with, lines like that, have come true. And this is to me that.
Gorge, it's been an absolute pleasure to get the opportunity to chat to you about the season ahead. And it's really special to see you back at the Sydney Kings. It really does feel right.